This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight, the show that everybody's been waiting for, the yearly pumpkin episode. Woo! And tonight we have six different pumpkin beers to try. An atomic pumpkin beer, a black pumpkin beer, even a pumpkin pie sour. Boy, I'm really looking forward to these pumpkin beers. And joining me tonight to drink them, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Andy Hamilton, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey guys, how's it going?
Fantastic.
Hola.
Excellent. How are you guys?
Doing good, except for I can't control the volume on this damn thing, but we'll soldier on. Let's get right into the first beer of the week. Everyone's been looking forward to pumpkin beers. We have the Atomic Pumpkin from New Belgium Brewing Company, Fort Collins, Colorado.
I think Andy shows up whenever we have New Belgium beers on the show.
I have a great New Belgium story. So those that don't know, New Belgium is in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is exactly an hour and 15 minutes northeast of Boulder, and it's an hour north of Denver. So we're in Colorado, me and my girlfriend, and we decided the last day we're going to drive from Boulder and we're going to go to New Belgium. I look on Google to see what their hours of operations are, and they're going to be open. So we go, we get there, and it's dark in there. You can walk in, like we're right there in the middle of the tap room, but there's nobody there. And then some dude comes walking out the back, saying, like, yeah, we're closed today. So that was a waste of time.
So was that story.
I got to cut that one out.
No, you're good.
I like it. Well, I like how we started with, I have a great New Belgium story.
The thing about it is, I mean, you know, I try to have New Belgium beers on here because I think they should get more respect than they get because they are a huge brewery, but they didn't sell out.
Right.
They're like, I think they're employee owned. Mm-hmm. And it's commendable. I just wish I liked their beer more.
Yeah.
I think it's because Fat Tire is their flagship, and I'm not a Fat Tire fan. And so it gets kind of a bad rap in my book. But every beer I'll go into with an open mind.
So I'll let you guys comment on the color, but I just smelled this. There is a ton of spice in the aroma.
Yeah, so it pours like a light golden, very light, like dark straw color, slight haze, really fine, like champagne-like bubbles. No head, almost no head.
A little bit.
Anybody taste it yet?
No.
So
no.
I took a swig of this, and first I taste like pumpkin pie, and then I'm like, okay, well, then it got a little like peppery, and it's like, oh, this is getting kind of like a heavy cigar. Peppery, and then all of a sudden it got hot.
Oh,
yeah,
I just got it
right.
It takes a while.
It has chilies in it. It's got with pumpkin, cinnamon, and chilies. I liked it right up until it got kind of peppery. I didn't enjoy that.
So you can totally smell both the pumpkin and the cinnamon in the aroma. I didn't catch the chilies in the aroma.
There's also like cloves, nutmeg, yeah. And maybe a hint of ginger in the smell.
It'd be Dallas is going to hate this beer, guaranteed.
Yeah, he's going to have heartburn.
Correct.
But you're right. Like, I don't smell the chili pepper, and I don't taste it at first. It really, like, comes in on the back end with a long delay, and then it's pretty strong.
And then it kicks in, and then it's a cumulative thing. The more you drink it, the hotter my mouth is getting. Luckily, it's not overwhelming on the chili. It is drinkable, just for me, not enjoyable.
So this tastes a lot like horchata.
It does.
But it has the spice. So I actually like the beer a lot because I think it has a good flavor and a good mouthfeel, except for it has that burn at the end.
I could do without the burn.
It's not that bad, but it is like right at the back of your throat, like it's tickling my uvula. And
there we go.
Not a fan of that. Not a fan of that sensation.
I haven't tickled your uvula. That was called in years.
So is that the back of her throat?
Dallas has hung his head in shame.
He's thinking about whether he can leave that in or if he has to take it's it out.
I'm thinking about it.
Oh. But it's really...
I think I have to leave it in.
I mean, we have the explicit rating, right? So I think we're good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't that wasn't that explicit. It was implied.
I mean, you should be 21. Show. You should be 21 or over if you're listening to our show.
Right.
Correct.
So I think it's okay. So this is pretty unique, though, right? I don't know that I've ever had a pumpkin beer with a chili spice to it.
No, and you know, if I didn't know that there were chilies in it before we even had any, I don't think it, if I had just heard about it first, I don't think I would have thought it would be as successful as it is. It's actually not a bad beer.
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
It's very unique.
I wouldn't want to drink more than one.
No, definitely not.
If I heard about it first, we wouldn't have even had it.
Dallas did not read the bottle.
I think what this reminds me of, too, like, I like this beer because of the maltiness, which there's sort of this bready flavor. And what this reminds me of, I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but I remember when I drink this beer, what I think back to was when I was a kid, my mom would always bake a lot of pies. And, like, the leftover crust, like the dough from the pie, we would put cinnamon and sugar on it and bake it, and that's the flavor I get from this beer before the chili kicks in.
Yeah.
There, that, oh my, you like nailed it. It's not necessarily a breadiness. It's more like a doughiness.
Like a flaky pastry.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
With lots of cinnamon and sugar. Like the beer is actually pretty sweet as well. I mean, we're talking about that chili pepper spice, but there's a good sugary sweetness to this.
I agree. Joel said, I can't get the horchata out of my mind now. Like whenever I drink it, it just tastes like a pumpkin horchata with some spice at the end, like chili.
Yeah, I'm definitely referring to the horchata beer from the brewery. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's got a similar mouthfeel. It reminds me a lot of it.
I think there's a market for this beer. I think that there will be quite a few people who actually like this beer.
I like it.
I'm not one of them. There's a market for it in my trash can. No, it's just, I'm just not a fan of the chili pepper beer.
I think I'm getting it now. Atomic pumpkin is probably like an atomic fireball.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the cinnamon.
Yeah.
That was deep. Came full circle there, guys. Yeah.
All right, well, before we get into the next beer, did anyone have any interesting beers this week they wanted to mention?
Oh, I had one. I had one called, hold on, I'm pulling them up here.
Man, this is the first time we've ever done this segment, so yeah. People are unexpected.
Well, it's a Knee Deep beer. I went to Knee Deep on Monday on the celebration of Christopher Columbus, and I had a Man Juice IPA.
Was that the name of it?
That was the name of it. It was okay. I wouldn't call it great. I was going to buy one crawler to bring home, and I did not pick that. I picked the Hoptologist.
Was it a hazy
beer?
So
why are you saying it was interesting if you didn't like it and you didn't think take any home? And
Interesting name.
Interesting name.
Oh.
What about you, Jeff? You have a beer?
Yeah, I have like an interesting story, kind of more of an experience. This was a few weeks ago. But I went to this brewery in Anaheim called All American Ale Works, which is a pretty new small brewery. But it was interesting because of the event they had. There is a running group in Orange County called the OC Craft Runners. And, you know, it's one of these running groups, which I think are popular around the country. They like once a week meet up at a brewery. They run a couple miles and then they come back and they drink beer. And so that's cool. They do that once a week. But there's some home brewers in this running club. And what they did was a collaboration with this brewery where the home brewers were able to come in, use the equipment of the brewery to brew a beer together with the brewery. So they made this beer called Extra Mile IPA. So I went there for the day it came out. It was a 1-day release and it was really good. It was high quality beer. I met Tom, who is one of the main guys who made the beer. He's also in charge of the OC Craft Runners group. But I thought that was just really cool. I mean, we see lots of collaborations between breweries, but I thought it was interesting to see this collaboration between home brewers and a brewery. It's something I've never really thought of, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, one of those beer drinking running groups sounds pretty good to me, except for the running part.
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather just drink the beer.
But they, you know, they have a huge group. It's interesting. Everybody there is really like fit in great shape, and they show up and they drink a lot of beer. So it was a cool group to hang out with, and I've never seen something like that where they collaborate with a brewery. So I just thought that was a cool story.
That is good.
That's a good story.
All right, let's get into the next beer. Now, last year we had Buffalo Bills Pumpkin Ale. This year we're having Buffalo Bills Black Pumpkin.
I was looking forward to this one, actually. This one seemed interesting.
Is this the first year they made this? Anybody know? I don't recall seeing this in the past.
I don't recall seeing it in the past either, but I'm not sure.
It does pour very dark.
You guys see the bottle cap that says "Do not use teeth" on it? I like that.
Oh, that's good. Pours almost. It looks a lot like cold brewed coffee. It looks fairly clear, actually.
It's very dark brown, but there is some amber highlights around the edges. The head is thick,
super thick,
tan head, and doesn't seem to dissipate very quickly.
So Buffalo Bills, they're the one that, like, they're all about using real pumpkins, right? They use 8 million pounds of pumpkins to make 4 beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think historically, Buffalo Bills has been our unanimous pick for the beer of the day on previous pumpkin beer shows. Their normal pumpkin ale.
This one smells a lot like, if you guys are familiar with making pumpkin pie, it smells like the filling before you bake it.
We're not.
But I think it smells a little bit like chai.
Yeah, it does have a spice with it too.
You're right about that. The chai tea type of smell. But also cinnamon.
A little bit of nutmeg like normal.
Like herbal.
I don't know if we said, but this is an oatmeal stout. So we got a lot of different styles tonight. Different types of beer. All pumpkin related.
Has anyone tasted it yet?
Yes.
I don't feel like I get very much pumpkin or that much spice.
It's there, but it's reserved.
Mm-hmm.
But I get the flavor of this is kind of like you get a fair amount of oatmeal stout, just your standard oatmeal stout, but a very nice smooth one.
I get like vanilla.
There is vanilla for sure.
And then, like nutmeg.
The nutmeg and the cinnamon does come through a little bit in the aftertaste, but it's everything is reserved with this beer. It's very
subtle.
It's subtle. And at, what is it, 7.9%?
Mm-hmm.
This is quality.
I could drink this on any day. I really am not a fan of pumpkin beers in general, but I could drink this one.
This would be good with, like, obviously with Thanksgiving or even like for a Christmas meal. This would be a great just addition to that meal.
It reminds me of, at first, a little bit of like a brown ale, but like a thicker, heavier brown ale with a creamy mouthfeel. But the flavors are solid, but subtle. I really like this. This is excellent.
The more I keep drinking it, the more I'm getting like a little bit of molasses at the end with a nice, like, it's also reserved and subtle, roasty finish.
A little smoky.
Mm-hmm.
It does a good job of balancing the darker malt type of flavors, roasted malt type of flavors with a little caramel sweetness and then that pumpkin type of spice at the end. Very solid.
Yeah, I think it's pretty complex. I mean, we're going to have some barrel-aged beers tonight. Yeah. This one's not barrel-aged, I don't believe. But it sort of has the complexity of a barrel-aged beer, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that you can like pick out as you continue to sip with this one.
Very good.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. On our last show, we had our Oktoberfest show, and with the three beers from Germany and then the three beers from America. In the news article, we talked about how the Thelonious Monk estate was suing North Coast. Alan Follett from Hercules, North Bay Area, commented, "I wonder if the timing of the Thelonious Monk estate suit against North Coast could have something to do with the fact that it coincides closely with the centennial of Monk's birth, which is today, October 10th, 2017. Mm. I doubt it. I don't know. Because I think the suit came a couple months ago. But it's possible, but I think it just comes down to the family trying to take more of a active role in trying to protect
the legacy of the estate
and the name and all that.
It's just so long though. The beer's been out around for, I don't know, 10 years
at least. It was one of the first Belgian style ales that you could buy.
Maybe
from
their trademark ran out and that's why they brought the suit.
Possibly. Unfettered, a new Beer of the Day user in Denver, Colorado, commented on Goose Island Experimental Ale. He says, "This is a Budweiser product and not a craft beer at all. Budweiser sold out in 2008 to InBev, which means corporate profits go to Belgium and Brazil, not America. It is a thin excuse for an IPA. Good aroma, but the body is absent."
So, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong about Goose Island selling out. And I do think that experimental ale is a little, light on the flavor. In general, I think Goose Island they've maintained the quality they always had. I mean, I wasn't ever a huge fan of their beer, but it's a solid IPA. If you're at an airport or something, you want to get an IPA that's not Lagunitas, if you want to change it up.
Yeah.
So.
Because they didn't sell out either.
It's not alternative Goose. It's still Goose. I'm sorry. God.
What? That was terrible.
I don't know. I just don't get it.
So bad. I just don't get it.
I'm trying to get it, but I don't get it.
We didn't either.
Anyway, Unfettered coming out blasting on the site. That's pretty good. Bonnie Lelukes in Port Neches, Texas, commented on St. Arnold Oktoberfest. St. Arnold's Oktoberfest is best in class for microbrewery Oktoberfest seasonal beers. Has a sweet aftertaste, like when you suck on a peppermint stick. You feel satisfied and lick your lips one more taste. Methinks it might be nutmeg or perhaps allspice. This beer is better consumed on the porch when the feel of fall is in the air and visions of Halloween monsters dance in your head. We'll miss this beer in November, but wait, the Pumpkinator is on the way. God bless Texas. God bless St. Arnold's Oktoberfest beer. Well, we haven't had that one, right?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, we've had other beer from St. Arnold's.
Side note, St. Arnold won a bunch of medals at GABF, and I think they were named the Midsize Brewery of the Year. So, yeah, I mean, we've had some of the beers. Excellent. It's the oldest brewery in Texas. They make great beer.
Dave commented on Undertaker Belgian Ale from Brewery Vivant in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dave says, "My wife and I had some during our visit to Grand Rapids and loved it. I would drink it all the time, but I can't find it in Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti. Don't hesitate to try this tasty ale if the opportunity presents itself." Yeah, we'll have to try that if we can get our hands on it. Thanks for the comment, Dave. If you have any comments, send them to us, feedback@beerofthedaycom, or you can post them on the website. On any page of the site, there's a comments section, and we will read them on a future show. Let's get into the next pumpkin beer. We're cranking it up another notch here. Now this is 8%. This is the Imperial Pumpkin Ale from Weyerbacher Brewing Company in Easton, Pennsylvania. This is the one of two Imperial Ale pumpkin ales we have on the show tonight.
Actually, I'm kind of surprised that the lowest ABV is 6.4. There aren't any, like, we're having some good octane beers here tonight.
We are, but we crank it up to 17.5 in the last beer. So.
Some stout ales.
Trying to kill me.
Yeah. All right, what have we here?
Well, you definitely get the
amber color, and light amber.
This is like a northeast hazy pumpkin ale.
No, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, it's light haze.
Oh, I must have the last pour. Sorry. You have more? Mine's.
Do you have more?
It's like a reddish amber color.
Yeah.
Like almost no head. I mean, I poured mine and the head is gone.
Oh, I got a finger.
It smells like a pumpkin beer.
Yeah, it smells like pumpkin pie again. Kind of like the uncooked filling when you mix it with cinnamon and whatnot.
The aroma I get is sort of medicinal, like menthol.
Yeah, it's
just maybe like, I don't know.
No, I can pick that up too. It's like a cool pumpkin.
I hate pumpkin beers.
Ooh. Oh, this one's got like thyme and rosemary or something in it.
Cloves.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
It's low carbonation and it's pretty sweet. And now we're getting up into 8%. So, you know, you do bump up that sugar a little bit to get the higher alcohol. I don't get any kick or anything like that, but I do kind of get a little bit of the thicker mouthfeel, a little bit of a stickiness.
I feel like it's thin. Like thin on flavor, like it's almost a little bit watery, but it is very sweet, and then it kind of fades into like an almost tart.
I think it's thin in the body, but I think there's a lot of flavor here. Oh. It's really sweet. I mean, there's sort of like a fruity sweetness to it, but I think it's pretty intense on the flavor. It is light bodied and low carbonation, like Dallas said.
I think Britton was saying it has a watery mouthfeel. Like there's something about it. I don't know what it is. It just tastes more like a very flavorful tea than it does a beer.
Yeah.
It has
That's really.
It has that session IPA feel to me where it's just.
At 8%.
Well, the mouthfeel and flavor more so than the actual.
Where it's missing something.
It's missing something.
But I get like the candy sweetness, but I also get like that refreshing sort of, I don't know if it's like peppermint, like when you leave a restaurant and you pop one of the mints in your mouth, it's not really a pumpkin flavor to me. It's just sort of this refreshing menthol flavor. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. It doesn't really taste like pumpkin fruit, but it does taste like pumpkin, the pumpkin spice.
Yeah, I'm not my favorite beer. Out of all the ones we've had tonight, even with the hotness and the heartburn that's associated with the first one, this one is just lacking something. I don't know what it is. It's a mouthfeel, I think.
Yeah, like I know Jeff's saying it's really sweet, and he's saying that the flavor is complex. But my like if you asked me to describe this beer in one word, I would just say thin.
Yeah, and I don't really like the beer. I'm gonna be honest, but I'm just saying there's a lot of sweetness and menthol flavors.
All right, well, definitely different than the first two. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we have three more beers to try, pumpkin beers, including a pumpkin pie de Bretteville, pumpkin sour from Almanac in San Francisco. That and more when we come back. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. If you like this show and want to help us out, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. Amazon gives us a little piece of commission when you shop through the website. All you have to do is go to beeroftheday.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a banner that says Shop on Amazon. You click that or go to amazon.beeroftheday.com in your browser. You do your regular shopping, and then we'll get a percentage of whatever you spend. It does not cost you a single penny more, but like this week, somebody came to the Beer of the Day website, clicked the link, and they bought a Kindle ebook, 101 free money-making apps. Earn money while on the go from your smartphone. They also bought passive income, 40 ideas to launch your online business, including blogging, e-commerce, drop shipping, photography, affiliate marketing, and Amazon FBA.
I'm sorry, did you say drop shitting?
Almost. They paid 99 cents for each of these books, and we made 4 cents on each purchase. Total of 8 cents.
So we're 4%.
That pays like a little more than one CRV.
That's right. So we're going to take those 8 cents and put it with our other money and buy beer for a future podcast. So we appreciate you shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. Let's get back to the show. Welcome back. This is our Strange Brew segment. We find the strangest beer we can that fits the category and try it for you so you don't have to. In this in this case, we have from Almanac. This is their Pumpkin Pie de Bretteville. Almanac's from San Francisco Bay Area. The de Bretteville series, they have all kinds of different flavors. I think last year we did one called Sour Pumpkin.
Yeah.
They have other pumpkin beers, and we've probably done maybe three or four different ones in this series on previous episodes. So this is a sour.
Slight
with
haze.
Brett.
It's kind of an orangey color, actually. Like, I don't know, like an orangey straw?
Like a golden orange.
Yeah. No head. I didn't get any head. Very thin head.
I got very little head. Ooh. As well.
You can smell that, Brett, though. I mean, that's a good, strong aroma.
I feel like it smells like a cross between pumpkin and apricot.
Yeah, I do get a fair amount of apricot there.
And not much pumpkin. It tastes like a normal sour beer.
There's a musky.
I mean, it smells like a sour beer. If I just smell this, I would not guess it had a pumpkin twist on it.
So it's always an adjustment when you switch to a sour beer. And the first sip, I got maybe a 5 out of 10 on the pucker scale.
Ooh.
It's pretty sour.
Yeah.
It's not the sourest beer I've ever had, but it does. You definitely get the sour right off the bat. And I'm having to take another sip now just to try and get past the sour to see what the actual flavor of the beer is.
I get very little pumpkin flavor.
Yeah. Same here.
I like the taste, but it just tastes like a sour beer. It's a little tart.
Pull in a tiny sip of it and then really move it around and see if it changes it, because I'm getting a lot more flavors when I do that.
Oh, it's sour.
You do have to get past the sour, but I do. There is a bit of pumpkin there. I really I actually enjoy it. I really like sour beers, and I like the flavors that can go with them. And some are well done and some aren't. I think this is pretty well done.
I think the thing for me with Almanac is I love sour beers, but Almanac beers in general are sour enough that it takes me a while to pick out the flavor, like, kind of like Dallas was saying. They're so sour that you kind of have to like search for the flavor. But I agree with Andy. I think the pumpkin is there. It's very slight. I think the thing that I really like about this beer is that it doesn't seem to really have all of the associated spices that go right along with a pumpkin beer, and I think that's why I like it, because it doesn't have all the other extraneous stuff that they normally put into a pumpkin beer, like cinnamon and nutmeg and all that right stuff.
Yeah.
So isn't it weird that it's called pumpkin pie?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that.
Because it's more like pumpkin fruit.
It's right. Almost like pumpkin grapefruit. Yeah, exactly. I'm getting that.
But you're not getting all the spices that we got in these other pumpkin beers.
Now it says that it's a farmhouse ale aged in oak barrels with roasted heirloom pumpkin and spices. So they put spices in it, but I think that the oak barrels kind of like toned that down and almost like eliminated it, which I like.
I like it a lot. This is a tasty beer. I went to Almanac tasting room in San Francisco a couple months ago, and it's really interesting. I was talking to somebody who works there, and they are very known for their sour beers, and to the point where they have to make other beers just to appeal to other people to come in. But they're really focused on their barrel-aged sour beers. But, you know, they have some IPAs, some pale ales, stuff like that. I don't think they want to make those beers, but they have to because they don't feel like they can just be a brewery that only makes sour beers.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I don't know if I can think of an Almanac beer that's not a sour.
Well, they made a San Francisco IPA. They stopped making it, but it was actually a really good IPA. It was one of my favorites, and they made it for maybe a year, maybe 2 years, and I enjoyed it, but they stopped making it. So, which disappointed me.
I remember one of our first test shows, we had their sourdough. They had a sourdough beer. It wasn't a sour beer. It was a sourdough bread type beer.
Yeasty.
But I believe, I don't know if they are still, but they were a gypsy brewery. And you talk about, like, you know, they had to brew different beers to appeal to the masses. I think part of that, though, is these beers aren't cheap. And they're only, what, 11 ounces, 11.2 ounces?
12.68.
Or that. But regardless, they're small bottles and they're not cheap. And so if you really want, you know, mass production, you're going to have to get a more mainstream and a more cost-effective beer.
But they do have a really cool tasting room in San Francisco. It feels a little bit like a restaurant, but if you're there, I enjoyed my time there. And I thought, you know, it's the type of place where you can go. They had 20-something beers on tap. They have like a tasting of all their sour beers and then a tasting of all their non-sour beers. And so we probably had 20 beers, small tastings, but it was a good experience. So I would highly recommend going there if you're in San Francisco.
You know, the more that I drink this beer, the less sour it gets. Like the sour kind of fades away after a little while. Much as maybe my palate's just getting like accustomed to it. But as I continue to sip, I feel like it takes on more of like a dry wine quality. Almost like Chardonnay, like if you had a pumpkin Chardonnay.
I would go like more Pinot Grigio. something more tart, right?
True.
But
I feel like it's dry. But yeah.
I do. It is dry, and and the mouth feels also kind of similar.
And I agree that sourness mellows out a bit.
It does.
It's still sour, but it does mellow. It's good. I like it. It's a tasty beer.
It's a good
beer.
You had to get that in.
Good beer.
And now let's get into the beer news of the day.
All right, so from software to near beer, a programmer finds a new career making low-alcohol craft beer. That rhymed. All that rhymed. Has anyone heard of Bravus Brewing Company?
Not just in this article.
So the story with this guy is that he was once a programmer by trade, but he decided to set up his own brewery in his garage in 2014. He started brewing beer by trial and error to learn how to specifically make a low alcohol beer that tasted good. I'm not sure why you would want to spend your time doing that.
Well, there's some backstory to this, and I just read the article. Like his best friend, I don't know if he was an alcoholic or what, but he drank too much. And his wife basically said, I'm going to leave you because you drink too much. So to help out his friend, who was now forced to drink non-alcoholic beers, he decided it was going to be like his mission to make good quality, flavorful, non-alcoholic beers to help out his friend. And then he realized there's this like niche market because there's other people like his friend that want this beer.
They already have good non-alcoholic beers. They're called soda.
Or kombucha.
Yeah.
Not kombucha.
I'm curious to see if it actually... I actually am curious to see if it tastes good. And if it tastes like beer.
Well, it's funny because kombucha to me is... It has very low alcohol. And sometimes it actually reminds me of a sour beer. But I don't know. At some point, you're just going for just taste. So, and that's fine.
I mean, as a computer programmer, I can see having even a beer will diminish my ability to think when I'm working. Computer programming and drinking, it's not one of those. There's a drop off, even with one beer. If I have a beer at lunch, I come back, I'm not quite as on the money mentally as I would be. And, you know, you have one beer, you don't think it even has any effect on you. But when you're dealing with lines of code where every little semicolon matters, it, you know, it's a different kind of thinking that is affected by that.
It's always some mundane detail.
Yeah. So if he wants to, you know, for that purpose or for his buddy who he got into craft beer a little too much. And so he started drinking O'Doul's, and that's crap. So, yeah, why not horn in on the O'Doul's market and try and, you know, take away some of that market share?
Yeah, the O'Doul's thought they were safe from this craft beer craze.
Now he brews an IPA, a stout, and an amber ale. I am curious to try them just because I want to see if they taste good. But where it gets interesting for me is he says, we found a specialized strain of yeast that doesn't produce a lot of alcohol. We worked with a molecular biologist to keep the fermentation slow and low. It's almost like cooking sous vide. We don't distill our beer or run it through a filter.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I think what I found interesting is, like, when he talks about who they're appealing to, it actually makes some business sense.
Yeah.
There's like four groups of people he's trying to target. One is people that are in recovery, which I don't know if you should target those people, but people that are in recovery, pregnant women he thinks will drink this beer, people who have religious reasons for not drinking alcohol, and also people who like go to parties but don't drink alcohol but don't want to like be the odd man out because they're drinking a Coca-Cola while everybody else is drinking beer.
I don't fit any of those categories.
No. But from a business perspective, I mean, if nobody else does this, if your option is either O'Doul's or a craft beer, I'm going to go for the craft beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a market for it.
At $7.99 a four-pack, it's $2 a beer. That's a lot to be paying for 0.5% of alcohol. Whew, man.
Yeah.
Our beer is only 100 calories per 12-ounce bottle.
And I don't know if that really, his business model on like at least two of those, the religious and recovery, would still not drink. It still has alcohol. They wouldn't
correct.
Drink it.
Well, sure. And I think pregnant women too. Like,
It's probably low enough for pregnant women.
They say not to. I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not judging.
I have a question. Do you have to be 21 to buy non-alcoholic beer?
Yes.
Why? Why is
there
that?
Is alcohol in it. It's not alcohol. It's not alcohol free.
But do you have to be 21 to buy kombucha?
Yes, you do, because it has a little bit of alcohol in it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Once his production expands, Brandis is thinking about selling his beer nationally and even internationally. Mm. 1/3 of all non-alcoholic beer in the world is consumed in the Middle East, and he'd love to be selling it there. Which transitions into our next article, which is finally, craft beer is starting to take a foothold in Dubai, UAE. It's kind of interesting. When we were there, I mean, it's been, 4 years now?
Yeah.
Obviously, being a Muslim country, not a huge amount of opportunity for selling beer, but there were some restaurants you can go to where you can get a beer, and it was insanely expensive, and it was mostly like Singha, you know, like Indian type of beers. Heineken
was big there.
Yeah, Heineken is still the biggest beer they have there. But they're getting some distributors and starting to get craft beer in a lot of different places. It's shaking things up. And then this guy, you know, in the previous article was talking about selling in the Middle East. So it's kind of a market where it's a little iffy as far as culturally and having it be allowed. But it's starting to make its way.
They tax, and this is, remember, like when we were there, alcohol was crazy expensive. Dubai takes in a 30% tax on every drink sold.
Rogue Ales is starting to ship their Dead Guy Ale over there by refrigerated containers, keeping them cold so that it stays cold the whole way. It's a whole new market. People are getting into. Maybe we can ship some of these pumpkin beers over there. All right, let's get into the next beer. We have Pumpking Imperial Ale, Southern Tier Brewing Company, which is not in the South. It's actually in Lakewood, New York. 8.6%.
We're creeping up.
We're about to creep up a lot more.
Is that a Halloween pun?
No.
So, it's pretty clear. Golden copper color? Golden amber color?
I'd go
deep copper.
I disagree. I don't think it's that dark.
I don't think it's that dark either.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
I think it's like straw colored.
What's funny is that it says deep copper on the side. It has like some notes, tasty notes and stuff. It tells us what we're supposed to think of it. So
it really isn't deep copper. Then they got that wrong.
Yeah, it's much more golden colored.
Not copper at all.
It's got like very, it's like very slightly hazy, but you can see the particles.
Yep. Very thin head. I barely have any head at all.
I think it's got a pretty unique aroma. I don't know really how to describe it, but it smells different from the other pumpkin beers.
It does. You know, it smells more like pumpkin seeds than it smells like pumpkin.
It's just not good. It's just so pumpkin. Like if you could go to a factory and create a pumpkin flavor with a bunch of chemicals and be like, hey, this is pumpkin. It's unnatural.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I get more vanilla flavoring than pumpkin.
I was going to say it tastes like if Glade had a spray that was like pumpkin, it tastes like perfume or like room spray.
Yeah. You know, like
it's almost like floral pumpkin.
Like all the spices that go into pumpkin except for the pumpkin, like it's just compared to the black pumpkin from Buffalo Bills, it's just lacking like a freshness and like an authenticity of the actual pumpkin flavor.
It's an artificial flavor.
It's orange vanilla with cinnamon stick, like not ground cinnamon but like a cinnamon stick.
So we are currently looking for a deposit bucket. So what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to pour all of them into Andy's cup and then just find a way to get rid of it somewhere.
Why are you going to do that to Andy?
Well, we installed a sink in the world headquarters. So.
Oh, nice.
I got it.
But the beer is smooth. Like, I don't like the flavor, but it's got a smooth sort of creamy mouthfeel.
I don't know. I've had some shots of vodka, and then I had some ABC pop-off twist cap plastic vodka. That's exactly what this reminds me of, but a pumpkin beer
you know, version
of it.
Have you guys sipped it? Like, the more I sip it, the less bad it gets. Mm. And what I'm tasting now is it almost has like a hint of coffee. So it's like very vanilla-y, very pumpkin-y, and there's like a little roasted coffee in there.
The worst thing about this beer is that it's a 22-ounce bottle.
Especially for Jeff.
And all the rest are regular size bottles. I can't drink this.
It's terrible.
You have to, Jeff. It's in your contract. Yeah.
There's a lot going on with it.
When you say coffee, I get that. Coffee, apple. There's just something mixing. Missing, like, I don't know what it is. It's tough because this is a good brewery. This is a really huge, like, East Coast brewery. They're big time. And I can't do this.
It's kind of crazy how complex it is. Like, the more I sipped it, the more stuff I could pick out. But I just don't know that all of those flavors work well together.
Yeah, it tastes like ash water. Like, a little bit of cigarette in there, too.
The problem is the artificialness.
Yeah.
It tastes like some type of cleaning product or... You know, there's some astringency to it. It doesn't taste like natural. So I don't think they did a good job on that one.
Yeah. In the end, it's like kind of perfumey floral room spray or like one of those like candles where it's like orange vanilla.
Yeah.
All right. So what was the ABV on that one?
8.6.
All right. Let's take 8.6 and double it.
And it still won't be enough.
And then add 0.3, and we're going to get to 17.5%, which is what our next beer ABV is. This is the Rumpkin Avery Brewing Company, Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, I was in Boulder right before I drove to New Belgium.
Did you go to Avery?
I didn't. I wish I did, actually.
Hey, so I have a question for you. What is the highest ABV beer we've ever had on the show? Or barley wine?
Like 19%, maybe.
Okay.
This one's getting close, right?
This is up. Yeah, this is very close.
Have we had anything that's not a barley wine at this percentage?
So, like, color-wise, I didn't know what kind of style of beer this would be. I sort of thought it might be like a barrel-aged stout, but I think it's got to be like closer to a barley wine style. Just pouring it, it looks thin and light-bodied for a beer that's at 17.5%.
If you stick your nose in that glass and you take a big whiff, it actually like hurts. It
singes your nose hairs.
Yeah.
It's like awesome.
Hurts the back.
All right, I have the list here. We've done 512 beers on this program. The highest one was 19.4%, the brewery, Mocha Wednesday. We also had 2 17% beers from Dogfish Head and a 16.5% from Dogfish Head. Those were the number 2, 3, and 4.
Wow. So this is going to go into the number 2 spot?
Yep.
This is number 2.
Wow.
It smells really good, actually. I like that. It smells like...
It smells like dark corn syrup.
It smells like if you had a glass of bourbon and you suck your nose in to smell it.
Yeah. I take a big whiff and it makes me cough. Like I choke a little bit.
When you get to these high ABV beers, there's usually no head. Usually they're very sticky, thick, syrupy. You're going to get a lot of high sugar. And then the question is, when you take a sip of it, what's the kick like?
Hold on. I have zero carbonation in my glass going on. Like, I don't see any.
Right. I don't think they're, I think it's, these are very low carbonation.
Yeah.
I whatever the process is, I don't think you can get much carbonation in a, like at your, you know, triple IPAs and stuff are lower carbonate.
Soupy.
They get soupy.
Yeah.
And it is a little syrupy, not in a bad way. I get like some brandy, like candied apple flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet. There's a lot
it's
of sweetness.
Very sweet.
It's boozy as hell.
Yeah.
It's a beer. It's actually pretty smooth in my opinion, but it's a beer that you have to want to drink if you're going to drink it. It's almost like we came here to do this pumpkin beer show, and I don't say we have to drink it, but we, you know, that was just the plan, right? Where this is the type of beer you really need to want it.
I agree. I don't get that much pumpkin.
No.
So
I was just going to ask that.
I grew up in with a grandmother who had a lot of German influence in her life, and so she would always have a bunch of different like schnapps and brandy and all kinds of little small glasses, and they were glasses that must have been only, you know, smaller than an ounce or two. And this reminds me of those types of drinks, like sweet liqueur, like just really high flavor. Something that you would eat with like a little piece of cake or a little cookie. It's really enjoyable, but
You'd only have like a shot glass of it though.
Right, exactly. It's like, man, I just need something before I go to bed. I'm just gonna take 1 ounce of this and shoot it. And it's like cough syrup, but in the best tasting way.
But the thing about this is that it is very, very smooth. Like the first sip obviously was boozy, but I was looking for the kick and it didn't kick me. And now that I'm accustomed to it, I take a sip of this and it is just smooth as silk. I have a problem with high ABV beers because they give me heartburn. Generally, I'm not getting that from this. I take a sip of it and I don't feel, you know, the flare up that I normally would. Is this aged in rum barrels?
Yeah.
So you will get some residual from rum. Rum is very sweet. I think it lends well to this type of beer. The pumpkin spices are reserved. They're not, you know, I think they're there, but it's very subtle.
Yeah, you're getting like the whipped cream, or almost more closer to like a really sweet potato taste, like a sweet potato pie.
Yeah, yams. Yams and sweet potatoes.
Yeah, yams and sweet potatoes, but like in a really good way. Like there's a little bit of a butter flavor to it as well, but it's very sweet.
I just can't get over the aroma and how much it smells like bourbon.
Yeah, it's got a crazy aroma. It doesn't have like as boozy a bite as I thought it would, but it is very syrupy and kind of like sticks around for a long time.
Yeah, I think Joel's spot on with the yams, the marshmallows, the butter. Remember when we had a beer a couple of years ago that was like the fall seasonal beer from the brewery that was like supposed to be the Thanksgiving beer that tastes that was made with yams?
Yeah.
You guys remember that beer?
Yep.
It reminds me a little bit of that, but boozier. But what I find most noticeable about this beer is there's more similarities to sipping rum than there is a pumpkin beer. This to me tastes like I'm sipping just like a shot of rum, much more so than I'm drinking a pumpkin beer.
But like I would say not a bad rum, like not like a cheap rum, maybe like a high quality rum with a little bit of sugar added to it or a little bit of cream on top or something.
But yeah, I mean rum is, you know,
it's fermented cane sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's 80 proof. It's 40%. This is only 17%. So this is a lot easier to drink than actual straight rum.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely not like drinking a beer, though. It's more like drinking a strong beer.
I like it, but they could take away the pumpkin labeling, and I would not know this is a pumpkin beer.
Yeah, what would they call it if it didn't have this pumpkin label on it? Would they just call it like the
rum beer?
Rum.
Yeah. And this was bottled more than a year ago. So it's maybe mellowed.
And this is one that will get better.
Yeah.
If you can pick this up and age it for a year or two, it'll smooth out a lot. I mean, it's pretty
it's
smooth
already
now.
Pretty it's smooth.
Yeah. There's a little quite bit smooth. Of a burn, but it's pretty smooth. Yeah.
I like it a lot. I think they did a really good job. And I'm not really a big fan of super high ABV beers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's recap the beers we've had today, and then we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the day was.
So we started off in our pumpkin show with Atomic Pumpkin from New Belgium out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Then we went with the Black Pumpkin from Buffalo Bills in Hayward, California. The Imperial Pumpkin Ale from Weyerbacher Brewing in Easton, Pennsylvania. After the break, we did the Pumpkin Pie de Bretteville from Almanac in San Francisco. The Pumpkin Imperial Ale from Southern Tier in Lakewood, New York. And we finished off the show with Rumpkin from Avery Brewing Company in Boulder, Colorado.
All right, I'll spin the wheel here. We'll see who goes first. It's Andy.
Oh, yay. Yay me. I get to pick the best of the best. So actually there was two beers here that I enjoyed. The Pumpkin Pie de Bretteville and the Black Pumpkin. I could drink those beers. But I think I'm going to go with the Pumpkin Pie de Bretteville. I like the complexity of that beer. I did like what it lent after the first sip. You know, the first sip was so sour, but after you got past that, there were some complex, you know, pumpkin flavors.
I am going to go with the Black Pumpkin. Last year I picked Buffalo Bills Pumpkin Ale. This year I'm going Buffalo Bills again. With the oatmeal stout version of it, I liked how, just as an oatmeal stout in general, it was quite good. Just the way it balanced those dark roasted malts with the kind of the caramel sweetness was very good. But then they added in that pumpkin spice cinnamon, but nothing over the top. It was so well balanced. They did such a good job with that. Buffalo Bills is my favorite beer.
So I too am going to pick Buffalo Bills. I think what I learned from this show is that pumpkin flavor works with certain styles, but with other styles it does not work for me. I really liked it in the stout, both the Avery and the Buffalo Bills. I just think the Buffalo Bills is a beer that I could drink every day, especially as we start getting into like winter time. It's, you know, something I'm going to look for to buy again. I like the Almanac. That was good too. With this show, 3 out of the 6 beers I really liked, which is a pretty good number for a pumpkin beer show. But I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills Black Pumpkin Ale.
All right. So to echo all of the sentiments that have already been expressed, my top two were the Pumpkin Pie de Bretteville and the Black Pumpkin, but I am also going to choose the Black Pumpkin because I feel like the style in general, like Jeff said, kind of meets the time of year that we're in, and like I could definitely drink that. I liked the really nice roasty finish and kind of like the molasses that was balanced out with the pumpkin and the cinnamon, and all of it was very subtle and reserved. So Black Pumpkin is my beer of the day.
All right. So if I was stuck on an island for the rest of my life and I could only choose one of these beers, I would definitely choose Black Pumpkin. But the beer that I am most glad that I had tonight was the Atomic Pumpkin. I know that you guys don't like that chili flavor, but I have never had any type of hot or spicy pumpkin flavor where it's mixed with heat and a pumpkin taste with cinnamon and nutmeg, and it had like a good creamy and like cinnamon, like milky start and a spicy flavor in the afterwards. And because it was so unique, that's why I choose Atomic Pumpkin as my beer of the day.
You know, I like that you picked that as your beer of the day. I feel like it should get a nod, actually, because it was very unique. And
we give,
it was everything that you said it was. It was actually pretty enjoyable, except for the chili part.
And we give New Belgium such a hard time, and I really enjoyed that beer.
Well, they should update their hours on Google.
Yeah. And if I'm going to give a nod, I got to give one to Rumpkin also. Very smooth for such a high ABV beer.
Yeah.
And really good flavor. Liked it. All right, that's going to close out the Pumpkin Show. We thank you for tuning in. And remind you to leave your comments. If you had any good pumpkin beers and you want to tell us about it, do so at beerofthedaycom, any page, or send us an email, feedback@beerofthedaycom. We are on social media. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. We're on Twitter @beeroftheday. And you can follow us on Instagram @beerofthedaysite. Each and every day, we post the beer of the day to social media. And if you follow us on any of those things, sites, or you sign up on the website, we'll email it to you or text message it right to your phone. So you can get the beer that we feature every day. We'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Andy Hamilton, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.